We're going to read from God's word now, our main reading, which is from Romans chapter 11. This is page 1138 in these church Bibles. Sorry, 1139. Romans chapter 11, and starting from verse 33, and we'll read into Romans 12 as well. So Romans chapter 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So reads God's word. Excuse me. As we think about hospitality tonight, I suppose many of us know what hospitality is, and we've got a good idea of what we think it is, at least. And we come to the Bible, and we see that it's verse 13 of chapter 12. It's a very short phrase, two words: practice hospitality. Seems simple enough. Let's go and do it. Let's go home. But there is more to be said about that. We need to ask the question, why should we? What's in it for us, maybe? You might want to say, or you might want to ask that question. You might want to try and explore what's so special about hospitality. Well, hopefully we'll answer some of those questions tonight. But what is it? I mean, literally, the word is a love of strangers. And so we show hospitality to strangers, particularly people that we don't know, people that are traveling through, and that we don't know especially well, perhaps. But it's more than that. We're to do good to all, especially of the household of faith. And in 1 Peter chapter 4, we're commanded in verse 9, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. And so it's not just strangers that we show hospitality to, we show hospitality to each other. And that is something that's binding on all of us as Christians. It's something that's not just binding, but it's a great privilege to do as well. And so hospitality involves sharing your home, it involves receiving people in from outside, people who are outsiders to the church perhaps, people who are strangers, providing for their needs, whether that's providing for their hunger, giving them food, providing maybe for their health, maybe they're people that need looking after, that can't look after themselves perhaps. It takes all sorts of different forms, but it's all about looking after people, looking after other people that are made in the image of God and that we are to care for. And one person has kind of described it as receiving outsiders and strangers and converting them into guests. They're no longer strangers when we offer hospitality, they're guests. And so that's basically what it is. I suppose that's in line with what many of us think hospitality is. But we need to ask why bother? Well, firstly, it's because it reminds us it reminds us and it reminds others what God is like. And so the history of salvation, the history of humankind, is also a history of hospitality. If you think back to the Garden of Eden, to creation, God put Adam and Eve in this new world, but he didn't put them in the wilderness. No, he planted a garden for them and offered them hospitality in the garden. And that was the beginning. That's where they experienced God's first hospitality. Then we know how Adam and Eve sinned. They took God's hospitality for granted, maybe. They disobeyed him. And as a result, they found themselves separated from God. They were cast out of his presence, cast out of the garden, and they became wanderers and strangers to God. And we see through the Old Testament how God took his chosen people, and though they were foreigners in the various lands that they ended up in, whether it was in Egypt or in Babylon or wherever it was, God drew them out of the place where they were strangers and foreigners and brought them to a promised land, to a good place, a place they could call home. So that was the Old Testament. But New Testament, Jesus comes along and he, well, dies for us. Ephesians chapter 2 tells us why and what one of the end results of that is. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. So we were cut off from God. We didn't have any part in the covenant he made with Israel. We didn't have any part with God whatsoever. But now, verse 13, in Christ Jesus, you, that's us, who once were far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's God showing us hospitality. He's bringing us, who are strangers, near to him. And so consequently, verse 19, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Those are amazing verses. By rights, we have no or we have no rights with God at all whatsoever. We are strangers, we're foreigners to God. He's not obliged to do anything for us. And yet, we're no longer foreigners, we're no longer strangers, but we're fellow citizens with God's people. We're members of his household. That's amazing hospitality, that he doesn't just treat us as guests just for the night, but we are members of his household, members of his family now. And that is a real privilege that we can know as God's people, as Christians. It's something we shouldn't take for granted, that God shows us hospitality. But it's only through Jesus' sacrifice that that happened. There's no other way that we could have been brought into God's household. It's only through the blood of Jesus. And that's what we celebrate week on week. It's what we celebrate in communion later, that we have been brought near to God. And talking of communion, it's no coincidence that as we think of hospitality and people sharing their homes, but sharing their meals together as well, that Jesus gave us a meal, this communion table, to remember him by. That is a sign of his hospitality for us and a sign of how important hospitality is. And so as we eat and drink together later this evening, we enjoy God's hospitality to us through Jesus. We were strangers to God, but now we are friends. We can even be called family as we share a meal with Jesus. And so hospitality took place from creation. We see how we rejected God's hospitality in the fall. We see how Jesus brings us near through his sacrifice on the cross. But we look forward as well. When Jesus, or before Jesus ascended into heaven, he was explaining to his disciples, this is John chapter 14, where he was going to go. He says, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So Jesus is directly involved in hospitality. He's right now gone to prepare a place for us. He's gone to get the place ready, his Father's house ready for us to go and join him. He's going to come back, as we heard about this morning. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again, and he will come to bring us to him, that we can enjoy his hospitality. And so we see in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, that heaven is described as the wedding supper of the Lamb. This is a feast. This is a great celebration of God's hospitality to us. Revelation chapter 19, verses 6 onwards. Then I heard, this is John speaking, what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Then the angel said to me, Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, These are the true words of God. And so there we have, from the beginning of time to the end of time, God is a hospitable God, and he shows us hospitality. And we can look forward to great hospitality in heaven as Jesus goes to prepare a place for us now, but there will be a great feast, and we're going to sing about that later, what it will be like in heaven. It's something to look forward to. So that's the first reason that we should show hospitality to each other. It's because that's what God is like. God is a hospitable God. But going back to Romans 11, which is where I want to focus most of the attention tonight, the second reason we should show hospitality is because the end of chapter 11, verse 36, it says, For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Well, everything we have, and maybe you're willing to accept this, maybe you're not, but everything we have comes from God. You know, we like to think that we're in control of where things come from, but everything we have is from God. That's what that verse says. And we see again in James chapter 1, verse 17, that every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from God. And so as we not just give hospitality to each other, but as we enjoy the hospitality of each other, we remind each other that everything we have is a gift from God. It's a gift from above. And that's a real blessing to know that God gives us everything we have. But it also means that as we show hospitality to each other, we shouldn't despise the things that we do have. So maybe one of your objections to showing hospitality is to say that actually my house is a bit small, I haven't got much food in, or whatever it is. Actually, God has given you what you've got. All things are from God. And so you shouldn't despise or belittle the gift that he's given. So think about the example of the little boy when Jesus fed the 5,000, bringing in a small packed lunch. For 5,000 people, that's nothing. But Jesus didn't despise it. Jesus didn't belittle that. Jesus used it and fed many, many, many people. So that is not an objection, or not a valid objection, to showing hospitality. The things that you have, God gave you, and God expects you, perhaps, to share that with other people. Everything that we have is from God, and we should be willing to share it with others. But not only is everything from God, it also says that everything comes through God. And so we kind of, in our minds maybe, split the things that we have into categories. Some things are obviously from God, you know, like a nice apple. God made it grow. God designed it. God gave it to us. But if you were to make an apple crumble, well, it's my intellect that's gone into making that. It's my hard work. It's my everything else about it is my work. But actually, think about who gave you the abilities to do that. Who gave you the intellect to work out where to put the butter? Who gave you the ability to read the recipe? Who gave you every ability that you have? Who even keeps you alive so that you are able to make it? Who gives you strength? It's all through God. And so if everything comes through God, then we've got no room for boasting about our achievements. Sometimes the world will use hospitality as a way of boasting about how nice their house is, or to show off how good their cooking is and how nice their stuff is. But the Christian doesn't have that. We recognize everything comes from God and through God. And so it's not an opportunity to show off. For us, hospitality is an opportunity to show how good God is and how amazing he is, that he would give you these gifts and so on. We use the opportunity to reflect the glory back to God. And so you may have decorated your house very nicely and chosen your furniture just right, and you might have a fine eye for detail, you might have this and that, but it is only through God that any of that is able to happen. It's only through God that you're able to do that. You may make a mean apple crumble, but that's nothing to boast about, because it is only through God that you're able to do that. So from him and through him are all things, but also for him are all things. And this is perhaps where we start to get a bit twitchy. We like to think that the things we have are ours, and we want to keep them, we want to clutch onto them. The world thinks this. The world is so often striving to gain stuff, to improve their wealth, to get bigger, nicer, better things. You just have to turn on TV for 5 minutes and you'll see hundreds of adverts, if you flick around the channels, of stuff that the world tells you that you need. And it's all just stuff. And it's all for themselves. But all things, from him and through him and for him, are all things. All things that we have are for God. God has given you those things so that you can use them for him. So if the world uses things for themselves, we should use them for God. If the world uses the things they've got to make themselves look good, we should use them to make God look good. Sometimes you get the impression that people only want to show hospitality to show off their social status, perhaps, to show that what kind of social circles they move in. Actually, for the Christian, that is not something that we should do. Our hospitality is shown to everyone, regardless of status. And so we read, Jesus says in Luke chapter 14, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. When we show hospitality to people, we're not to be selective and only choose the rich people, the powerful people, the impressive people, the rulers and those kind of people. We're to show hospitality to everyone, those people that are in need particularly. And it's not something to boost our own status or anything like that. It's regardless of status, because that's how God treats us. God shows us hospitality, not because we're particularly clever or because we're particularly rich or particularly powerful or move in whatever social circles we move in. God didn't choose us because of that. We have no idea why God chose us. He chose us because he chose us, and he loves us because he loves us. And we're to show that same kind of love for those around us. And so if all things are for God, then the things you have are not to be hoarded selfishly. The things you have, the home you have, maybe the food you have, they're not for you, they're for God. So use them for God. Jesus gives us a very stark warning in Matthew chapter 25. It would be good if you turned there, if you've got your Bibles. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. He says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. So we see there that as we show hospitality to each other, particularly to Christians, but as we show hospitality to anyone, we do it for Jesus himself. But listen, he goes on. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was ill and in prison, and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or ill or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is how serious our show of hospitality is. Jesus is saying, as we show hospitality to each other, we actually show it to him and prove ourselves to be righteous. If we don't show hospitality to each other, we're in danger of eternal punishment, verse 46 there. This is serious stuff. As we consider how we treat each other, we need to change our motives for showing hospitality. This isn't about us. This is for God's glory. And so, going back to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9, starting at verse 7 actually, he says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore be alert and of sober mind, so that you may pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Peter's saying that the end of the world is coming. Jesus will return, and he will come to bring his people back home to be with him. But if that's the case, if Christ really is coming, as we learned and sang this morning, if Christ really is coming, then what are these things that we have here in this life now? They're going to be gone in a little while, whenever that will be. Why not show hospitality? These things are a gift from God. They're from God, they're through God, and they should be for God. So the things that we have, the things that we, or the way we think about what we have, should change. Our motives should be completely different to the world's attitude. And so just to round off really, thinking about how we can show hospitality and perhaps who can show hospitality, because this really is a command for everyone. But how can we show it? We said already, Jesus said that when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. So there's something about eating in hospitality that is a helpful thing, a good thing. We see time and again how Jesus or how God shows hospitality through food, whether that's in the garden, whether that's the wedding supper of the Lamb, or whether it's communion, or whatever it is. God shows us hospitality through meals, and Jesus himself enjoyed people's hospitality here on earth as he went about his ministry. So take the opportunity to invite someone around for a meal, whether it's someone in the fellowship, whether it's someone visiting. I noticed this morning there was quite a few visitors and we had a fellowship lunch afterwards. I wonder how many of you actually went out of your way to invite those visitors to the meal. It's an act of welcome and hospitality and true love of strangers. So have a meal with people. Enjoy God's good gifts for the benefit of other people. Perhaps you're not really interested in food. Maybe the people around you don't really need food. So maybe just, I don't know, look after someone's children for the afternoon. This is something my wife is a lot better at than I am. But you know, just take people in. Just give parents a break, perhaps. Provide a meal for people that couldn't otherwise or wouldn't otherwise cook for themselves. Take it round to them. It doesn't have to be you inviting them over. Sometimes people don't want to do that. But sometimes you can give in an act of hospitality, sharing what you have with someone else. Maybe you could, when you see that we're going to have a visiting speaker come in a few weeks, you look at the news sheet and think, oh, he's coming. There should be a queue of people coming to whoever's in charge of preaching Rota and saying, look, this man's coming. Can we have him round at our house for lunch? None of the visiting preachers that we have should ever have to stop off at McDonald's on the way home or anything like that. They should be recipients of our hospitality. And I hope that happens. I don't know if it does, but I hope it does. maybe, and this is something that Beryl brought to my attention a few months ago now, about the need of missionaries. When they come back from overseas, they often have nothing. They don't really know where they are and what they're doing. That it's a difficult time for them. Maybe if you've got space in your house, you could host a missionary as they settle back into English life. Maybe if you've got a spare house, you could donate it to them. I don't know what your circumstances are, but yeah, if you've got property and if you've got stuff that people can use, then use it for God, because these things are from God and through God and for God. There are people in this town who are foreigners, literally, and it can be a scary thing, I suppose, to try and break that language barrier, but invite them around, try and get to know them, show hospitality to them, welcome them to the town, don't despise them. But as we think about who we show hospitality to and how we can show hospitality, we need to consider, perhaps especially as we come to communion now, is there anyone in this church who you would struggle to show hospitality to? Is there anyone who you would refuse to eat a meal with, perhaps? If so, that's a very sad state of affairs, but we need to consider, if that's the case, we need to change, and we pray that by the Spirit's help we would change. We need to think that these are our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to show love and compassion to each other. And so maybe there is someone that you haven't seen eye to eye with for a while. Maybe there are people that you try and avoid. Why not take the opportunity to invite them and show hospitality to them? Even your enemies. Going back to Romans, at the end of chapter 12, we see that Romans chapter 12, verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Now, no Christian should ever be able to call another Christian an enemy. But the thing is still true that we show hospitality to everyone, and especially those who are believers. And through that hospitality, we get to show God's love. We maybe even settle our differences over a nice bowl of soup or whatever it is. It's an opportunity to spend time with each other, and that's only a good thing. And finally, just thinking about who can show hospitality. This, perhaps for some of us, we leave this to the women, and we think, well, women are generally better at it than the men, but we shouldn't assume that. Remember that some of the qualifications for the elders in the church are that they show hospitality. It's the men that are in charge of leading the church should show hospitality and demonstrate that hospitality. So if you notice that any of the elders aren't hospitable and don't demonstrate hospitality, then you need to be very wary, and we need to have a good think about whether they should be elders. They're supposed to be an example for us, that as we, the rest of us, look to these men, that we see, that's what hospitality looks like. We see that they're teaching us what God's hospitality is like, but that they model it as well. So it's not just for women, it's for men as well. If you're, if you think that you don't have very much, that's no excuse. We've said that already. You can still use what you do have for God's glory. Those of you that have houses far bigger than you need to, then take the opportunity and think about how you can use that space for God's glory. Even children, you can use and show hospitality as well. I know one of our girls a few weeks ago showed hospitality because she noticed that Grandad was going to be away for the weekend, and so she invited Granny round for a meal because she was going to be lonely. And that was hospitality. She was using our stuff, but she showed a hospitable heart and a kind heart, and that is something that you need to develop. And maybe if you haven't got a home to share, then just learn to share your stuff with those around you. Keep on the lookout for people that might be in need. And parents, encourage and show your children what hospitality looks like. Help them to see those people that are in need, and to help them use your stuff, your homes, your food for God's glory. There's all sorts of ways that we can show hospitality, and there's it applies to every single one of us, whether we think we've got much or little. Everything we have is from God and through God and for God. And so we should take the opportunity to think about what we have. Maybe even after the service, think and talk with each other about the things that you have and maybe ways that you could use that for God's glory. Why not take the opportunity after the service to invite someone round, even tonight? Bit of toast. It doesn't have to be a three-course meal. Bit of toast, cup of tea. Decaf at this time, probably. But just take the opportunity to show hospitality to one another. Even in the very little things, it makes all the difference. And it shows, like I said at the start, that God is a hospitable God. And as we show hospitality to each other, we remind each other, we remind ourselves that God has shown such amazing hospitality to us. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. Before we do that, we're going to sing. We come as guests invited. This is a communion hymn, and it reminds us that we are guests to God's table. We are guests with God being our host. Before we sing, let's pray, and then we'll carry on. Father God, we thank you for drawing us near, for being that wonderful host all through history. You never change. Lord, thank you for the feast that we can look forward to. And we pray that we would look forward to that day. Lord, as we look around us now, help us to see the needs of those around us, especially those who trust you for salvation. Lord, may we never ignore people's needs or belittle people's needs, but help us to consider it a real joy as we serve one another. So Lord, would you open our eyes to see those needs and give us understanding of how wonderful you are, how hospitable you have been to us, that we might try and emulate that in some way. Lord, as we come to communion now, we thank you for your hospitality, that we share a meal with you and with each other. Lord, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and to know your goodness to each one of us. Amen.